Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. I can't believe it's been a week since my wedding anniversary, where I shared with you answers to questions around getting some insight regarding living 31 years of married life and trying to connect that to just our lives as disciples and also just to be a blessing to you all. I promised 11 questions, 10 plus a bonus, and I haven't gotten through them all. So I'm going to finish off those questions today, but in the course of doing that, also share with you some other updates about stuff going on. And I'll do that in just a minute on the program. Welcome back to the program. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name, and I thank you and praise you for the gift of life, for who you are, and for all the good and the grace, the mercy that you have poured into our lives. Lord, ask a blessing upon all of those of us who have kids and kids who are heading back to school, and I just ask for your hand of mercy to be upon them. Heavenly Father, that Jesus, you'd be the good shepherd to guide them and be with them. Mother Mary, that your mantle of traveling mercies would be over them, over any of their traveling means upon the planes that they're flying in, that they would have peaceful, safe, uneventful flights, that they would arrive at their destination safely and have safe travels in a beautiful, holy time in school. And Lord, for those starting in new schools, I ask for blessings as well, that they would foster and connect in powerful, intimate ways with you, Lord, through what happens in those schools, and that you'd be glorified, Lord, in all that we do, all that we say, all that we live. And Lord, just bless them. And we just love you for the mystery of life and its unfolding. And we make this prayer, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's great to be with you today. So much has happened in the past week, right? So we had, of course, on the 15th, it was the solemnity of the Assumption. And one of the things it was also is connected to Exodus 90. Exodus 90 began as an effort. I think it was at Mount St. Mary's in Emmitsburg, Maryland, that seminary, where I don't know if he was a spiritual director or a formation advisor. He was trying to help some guys in the seminary who were struggling with addiction to pornography. And the question was, how do you really help these guys break that addiction? Now, this is, I don't know, what, 10 years ago? And what he realized was it took a serious effort, 90 days. And so they underwent a rigorous set of extra commitments, right, beyond what the seminary would have required, extra like efforts to deny self, to put to death the desires of the flesh, and then to foster holy habits that would not only bring about a pure and modest way of living, but would put to death the addictive tendencies, would sever any connection to those addictive attitudes, and would foster, again, just a way of living that was glorifying the Lord. And in any case, that effort grew and expanded. And I remember talking to he might have been the first executive director, the guy who was trying to help sort of ride this runaway rhinoceros. Is that a thing? maybe is it avoid the charging rhinoceros? In other words, it was running fast because it touched a nerve and they were trying to figure stuff out. And I had questions about, really, does it have to be 90 days and does it have to be this set of things? And so I have more watched it at a distance, and I've heard about a number of guys who have been touched by it. Well, they have grown and advanced quite a bit. And I've learned that through coming into contact with an initiative that started on the 15th. It was St. Michael's Lent. I never even heard of that. St. Michael's Land, it's connected to St. Michael the Archangel. And if you count 45 days from August the 15th, you get to the Feast of the Archangels. And so St. Michael, of course, one of the archangels. And so there, sure enough, there we go to St. Mark's Parish here in Boise. And there were some guys there at a table promoting the St. Michael, the St. Michael Lent. And it was an initiative of Exodus 90. And so I ended up getting the app and looking at the variety of resources and the number of guys they've got involved, just in terms of what I could make sense of. It is super impressive. Holy cow. Super impressive what they've been able to develop there. And I humbly acknowledge, boy, they've learned and grown and have put together a very agile, sleek program to be able to provide men with like daily meditations and resources to be able to help them live out their to live a godliness, right? To live godliness as a man. And well done, right? Just what a beautiful thing. So I launched. Now, kind of funny, it was one of those things where even during Lent, there are feast days or solemnities that can allow you to hold back or to reduce the penances or acts of self-denial that are connected with the program. And sure enough, the first day is one of those days. I wanted to dive in with some strong fasting, and it was like, no, don't fast on that first day. It's a feast day. Okay. I collapsed pretty quickly. I did. And then on Sunday, it was we celebrated my daughter's birthday because she was going to be away at school, and a bunch of my kids were away at school. So I also ended up sort of surrendering on some of my St. Michael's Lenten obligations as part of the St. Michael's Lenten program, as part of this 45-day thing. So it's amazing how quickly we can find safety valves, right? We can find little exit points and say, yeah, I'm going to do this, this rigorous path of self-denial. And then sure enough, here's an easy way to access a different direction. And oh yeah, sure, I'll have that piece of birthday cake. So it's been a bit of a challenge for sure. So that's one thing. Just I want to I don't know if the words repent or just I had to repent in my mind the way that I was looking at Exodus 90 in terms of how far they've come, and coming back and looking at them, I'm like, wow, they've come a long way. Well done. So check them out, guys. You don't have to just do it when Exodus 90 is having one of its formal programs. You can benefit from the recommended acts of self-denial and penance and dying to self. Super helpful, super helpful. And of course, I do think one of the great sources of power in all of that is community, having a group of guys to do it with. And so that's something that I'm still waiting to see happen. So I'll kind of keep you updated as things are going on. The second is this. Have you ever experienced sort of the mystery of, I don't know if you call it the mystery of life or the mystery of God or God's providence, or, oh, are you kidding me? Just let's just call it the, oh, are you kidding me's. So if you followed my recent journey along with my wife, and one of the things in coming here to the Boise area is saying farewell to certain habits and taking on more life-giving habits so that we would fare well. We would live, we would do, we would become healthier and holier people and a couple and a family. And so for me, that meant exercising and really just trying to dial in. What does it mean to have a healthy lifestyle, right? So working out and eating in a healthier fashion and understanding more about my body and certain biohacking things that are very popular these days. And so I've been testing them out since I've been here. And sure enough, in the last week, as I have been getting some momentum and trying to get dialed in, Let's see. The first thing that happened was I pulled a muscle in my leg. Are you kidding me? That muscle that I pulled in my calf 6 years ago, sure enough, tweak, just as I'm jogging along. I'm not even going fast, right? I think I would be going so slow, and my form is so bad that people might look at me and saying, is he okay? Do we need to call an ambulance? I'm just kidding, but I'm not breaking any records at the pace I'm going, and I'm not forcing it. And it's just all of a sudden, I just felt this little tear, this little whoosh, and I'm like, no, why? And the funny thing is, I even stretched out. I stretched out even more than I normally did before I went jogging. And then this little tear happens. And so I'm like, oh, come on. How long is this going to put me out of commission, right? For that part of things. And that's just sort of the, really, is this, I finally make some efforts to do this. And then this happens. And then one of the other like specialized forms of working out, I went to this I don't even health center, and they had this plate that you could stand on that it would begin to vibrate, and in vibrating it would cause your muscles to react, and it would help you to like strengthen muscles and blood flow and balance and these other things. And as it started to shake, and it wasn't just shake, it was vibrate, and it started vibrating faster and faster. I'm like, wait a minute, this is not going to be good for my concussion that I had now several years ago. And it took me a couple of years to overcome the impacts, and it had slowed down significantly my ability to work out. And within 10 seconds, I'm like, okay, this is probably not going to be good. This could potentially like cause a resurgence of those concussion impacts. And I'm like, oh, I'll just let me stay with it a little bit. And I stayed with it for another couple of minutes, and that was it, just like 2 minutes, maybe up to 3 minutes. And I'm like, no, it is not worth it. Let me step off of this thing. And sure enough, yeah, it has reintroduced into my life some of these impacts of this concussion in terms of like fogginess and tiredness. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Right. So this is that same kind of question again. Just when we think we're making some forward progress, just when we think we are doing things to fare well, to live well, and to say farewell to things that are not living well, these speed bumps get in the way. These obstacles get in the way. And it makes us just sort of turn to the Lord. I was talking with a guy last night in the stands at a volleyball game, and he's Christian, not Catholic. And we met him through his daughter that is friends of our daughter from volleyball, and they invited us over to dinner. And so we went over and had a wonderful conversation with him. A guy, just real salt of the earth guy, just loves the Lord, strives to serve the Lord, follow the Lord. And what did he bring up? He said, you know, hey, you're Catholic and you've written some books, and I want to understand more about the Catholic faith. I've got some things I really want to explore about sacraments and understanding that. And he said, and especially suffering. He said, you Catholics have an understanding of suffering that is just a bit of a puzzle for us that are Christian, where we don't have a rich like history of understanding why we would continue to face trials and difficulties that involve suffering in our own following of the Lord. And I really want to explore that more with you because of what's going on in our lives. And it's his attempt to be a good steward of what God has given to him. And there are these different challenges and burdens that are all of a sudden coming in connection to that. So what do you do? What do you do when here you are, you brothers and sisters like me, and what am I? I'm trying to serve the Lord. I'm trying to live well. And then speed bump, roadblock, obstacle, setback, suffering, trial, what do we do with that? And I had another one of these show up in with regards to some real estate that Carrie and I are trying to sell this property. And I've just bumped into these challenges. And all of a sudden, in the last few days, this other challenge just appeared about an easement and this other stuff. You don't need to get into the details, but it was like this unexpected, out of left field challenge. And it just brought it to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I am looking you in the eyes, Lord, and I'm really trying to serve you and really trying to follow what you have for me. Why is this happening? And I got to tell you, and I'm bringing all of this up for this. This is the big ta-da, right? This is the big ta-da that I hope can shine a light into your lives. And it was the Lord saying, Tom, what right now appears to you to be a cross and a trial and a suffering, and it is, I am intending to be a blessing to your life that is beyond what you could imagine. I have in store for you a blessing, a goodness, an experience of my generosity in your life that I'm going to bring to you precisely in this area where right now you're suffering. You're having a trial and a difficulty and a setback and a brokenness and a falling down and things going badly. I am with you. I am not like caught off guard. I didn't like slough off in my attempts to guide you and protect you and provide for you. No. I've got you, I've got this, and I'm going to see you through. This will be a blessing. And so the Lord has been challenging me in the last week to trust him, and to entrust into his hands those parts of my life and those things happening in my life that are going sideways, that my experience of them is sideways. I have to tell you, the Lord is also humbling me to turn to sources of insight outside myself in order to be able to have a sounding board, bounce this stuff off. And so I was bringing up a couple of these things with Carrie, and she's like, look, I'm not your coach. You need a coach. As you know, I've done lots of executive coaching, right, for 20 years and all that. So I can be not the easiest guy to coach because of my background in coaching. And so I'm like, fine, I'm going to go find a coach. So I interviewed a couple of people, and one of them, I was saying, hey, here's this situation with this building. And the coach said, you know, you ought to think about this not as, not only as a sense that God's saying, trust me, but that you can also use the brain that God has given you to be diligent and a good steward, but not fall into the attitude or that like sort of energy that says, I've got to figure this out. I got to somehow, I'm failing in God. If I don't just trust and let go and do nothing, if I don't just step all the way back, I'm not trusting in God. But then the opposite isn't, I've got to take over and figure it out and control it. No, there's this mysterious middle where I trust in the Lord, I entrust it into his hands, and then I do what is in my power. And so use my reason, use my thinking, but within a spirit, within an attitude that's peaceful. The Lord's got me. The Lord's got this. The Lord sees what's happening, and he will see me through. And I think that's just so beautiful and important in our lives of faith. Brothers and sisters, you will have setbacks. You will have trials. You will have difficulties. And what you're experiencing right now as a cross that you would like to let go of, that you would like to put down, is a cross that you may be carrying in order for the Lord to say, oh, I have got an incredible resurrection for you. Got this resurrection in store for you that you cannot yet even imagine. But I do. And I'm going to see you through, all the way through the carrying of this cross. Embrace it. All of the falls, you will fall and stumble. But I'm going to give you my mother, the Blessed Mother, to be with you on the way. I'm going to get you a Simon to help you carry that cross, someone to walk with you and accompany you. I'm going to have people to be with you, to see you all the way through. And even though there will be a death involved, a death to attitudes and behaviors and ways of looking at things, I promise you a resurrection, something that is more glorious than a life that would avoid the cross. Oh, let me say that again. A life that avoids the cross is a life that's avoiding the resurrection. A life that avoids the cross that leads to death is a life that's going to avoid the resurrection to new life, to something that's higher, more elevated, more perfect, more personal that the Lord has for you. You can stay in your old life by setting down the cross, or you can keep walking with that cross. You can see it all the way through, and the Lord will bring you through to a resurrection, to a whole new way of seeing and living life. Amen. That's what I sign up for. Yes, Lord. That's what I want for my life. And so I say yes to a life that involves stumbles. I say yes to a life that involves setbacks. I say yes to a life that involves trials and difficulties that I didn't sign up for, didn't expect, and yet they're happening. Because my God is a provident God. My God is a Lord who providentially is shepherding me. And he's shepherding you through marriage trials, through parenting trials, through health difficulties, through financial challenges, all of these things and more. He is our provident God. And he leadeth me. Thank you, Lord, that you leadeth me. All right, I'm up against a break. Back in a minute with more of the program. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Kern. It's great to be with you. Do you guys use whiteboards? I love whiteboards. It allows me to see a sense of the whole. Right? Do you have a to-do list? Stuff like that. But that can be on the computer typically. And we don't get to see it all at once in front of us easily. So I've got these big whiteboards, like they're 3 feet by 4 feet. They're huge. And so where I'm sitting in my new little office space, I'm looking at 4 of these whiteboards. A fifth one is empty. The fourth one, the 4 whiteboards are real estate. That's the work I'm doing, serving the clients that I currently have. And what am I going to do going forward with regards to that? Mission and ministry, right? So doing the radio program, and then I'm doing more speaking engagements, and I've got my book writing down there, and what am I going to do regarding that? And I can tell you, the first thing I'm going to do, number one on that list, is I'm revising my Mass book, the Mass 4 Encounters with Jesus That Will Change Your Life. I'm revising it to incorporate the changes that happened in the Mass about 13 years ago, plus some reflections on the traditional Latin Mass and reverence at Mass. So I'm going to be updating that in the next month, believe it or not. And I should have it done in about a month, maybe a month and a half. And then I've got other books underneath that. But I'm excited. I'm excited about enhancing and advancing my time in this time in life, doing work in mission and ministry. I've got things to do for my family life. That's another whiteboard all to itself. And that's sort of taking care of a lot of the practical things that we have right now. And then also some financial planning stuff, right? This is something that I mentioned to you. And as Carrie and I are headed in this direction, it's like we're paying more attention to how are we going to live? How do we want to live in the time that remains? That's such an important question. How will you live with the time that remains? There's a lot at stake in our lives. And the mystery, like I was, I'll mention in passing, I was scrolling, I don't remember, a week ago, and this article, you know, some random article showed up on Facebook, and it was about a guy who was playing polo. He is extraordinarily wealthy. He may even have been a billionaire, but extraordinarily wealthy Indian gentleman had taken over a company from his father and had grown and advanced it. He was a friend of the royalty of England, and he was playing polo, like on a horse, right? Playing polo. And he, a bee flew into his mouth, and it's like he swallowed it, but the bee stung him, and he had this reaction to it, and he died, like right there. And this guy was not old, you know, relatively speaking. I don't know if he was, you know, in his 40s, maybe in his 50s. And here he is, and like the fullness of his life, the fullness of his powers, the fullness of his capabilities, and playing polo with the future King of England and others in a very prestigious setting, and literally on top of the whole world. And what are the odds that a bee fly into his mouth while he's playing, sting him, and he has this reaction to it and dies? And you hear a story like that, and it just seems so distant from us. It's so far afield from our lives. Now, of course, we hear about, oh, life is fleeting and life is precious, and you should be, you never, don't just take things for granted. And we hear that, but do we really take that seriously? And the answer is we hear it, we have an awareness of it for a few moments, and then we just move on. And I'm thinking, wow, did I even say a prayer for the repose of his soul? I don't think I did. Shame on me. But it was another one of those like poignant reminders that no one is guaranteed tomorrow. Right? St. Alphonsus de Liguori, in preparation for death, no one is guaranteed tomorrow. No one is guaranteed the rest of today. And so the preciousness of human life, the preciousness of the time we have in our day, how much I want to live, not just live well, but live in accord with the very highest purposes that God has for my life. And to dedicate my best energy to pursuing holiness and the God-given mission he has for me. And underneath that, living a healthy lifestyle to be able to pursue that with as much vigor and extent as possible, so that if I'm going to live a shorter life, it won't be because of a health failure that I could have avoided had I been a better steward of my body. Better than I'm a steward of my cars. I remember telling a story of how God took care of me. One day I was driving back from the Tri-Cities. I had done an all-day event, and I was driving home, and I was coming through Yakima, and my car broke down, and it was like midnight. And I was only about 100 yards away from a rest area. So I was able to get out of the car, walk at midnight to the rest area, get on a phone and call and get a tow truck. This is before cell phones, right? So this is how long before I had a cell phone. So probably around the year 2000. And I was like, you see how God took care of me? And I was telling that to a guy who was really good with cars. And he said, you know, God took care of me by having me take care of my car well enough that I would never have that happen to my engine. So God was working with me in a mode of rescuing me from my own fault rather than preserving me from ever experiencing that fault. And so, yeah, that was a humbling story to tell and very chastened. But I don't want to have that happen with regards to my physical health, right? And we shouldn't. But the same would be, like, let's call it your financial health. But our financial health, where you don't have to pursue money, but you do have to pursue a sense of prudence in terms of provision for the family. And that for me is both trusting the Lord and working hard, right? That's been sort of the life that God's called us to live. But now I'm being asked to trust the Lord even more in terms of financial planning so that I can focus even more on mission and ministry in my life with the time that remains. So it's been a shift. There's been a shift there worth pursuing. Not going to talk about it more right now, but that's whiteboard number three. So real estate and all of that work that I do to help folks buy and sell and discern moves. The second is the mission and ministry board that I told you about. The third is this financial planning stuff and things to do right now. And the fourth is the healthy lifestyle, where I have four columns here: eating, exercise, biohacking, and lifestyle. And so those four things. And then I have a daily program of life underneath it, where I'm kind of mapping out what am I doing every day, right? Monday through Sunday, to be able to live well. What does that look like? And what does that look like during these 45 days, right? In terms of adoration and daily mass and cold showers. And oh, by the way, no access to smartphones. So I'm a week in to not, yeah, this is like day seven of me, no, day six, day six of me not using my smartphone, not going on any social media apps, right? That's why I mentioned that Facebook was before this, but I haven't been on Facebook or YouTube. I haven't played a chess game. That's pretty strong. Have not been on a browser. The only thing I'm accessing on my laptop or my smartphone is email, text, or necessary websites where to do work that I need to do. And it's really freeing. I sense sort of the pull of the flesh to want to just sort of succumb and not succumb to that. It's like, you know what? This is pretty refreshing. And I really praise God for the gift of St. Bernard of Clairvaux, who talks about the power and importance of contemplating the Lord in nature and just taking up that whole attitude of contemplation, of being able to be present to the Lord at work in creation, in the events of my day, and in my own heart. In all three dimensions, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord who is present and approaching me in an intimate and personal way through what he has created, through the majesty of creation. So being out in nature, being present to the Lord who is at work, who is with me always until the end of time, Jesus, God with us, the Son who is with me in the moments of my day and shepherding me forth, the one who is the way. And then the Holy Spirit who lives within me, being sensitized to his presence and his promptings in my life. That is something that we can all foster. We can all nurture and grow if we're going to fulfill the call that God has for our lives. And so I'm excited to pursue that more fully. And it's amazing how much time and energy and focus is given back to me when I'm not accessing all that stuff, all that time given over to the internet. What a gift. And you know, we all have that addictive pull towards, I shouldn't say all, the great, great majority of us have an addictive pull towards smartphone use and smartphone addiction, right? Just constantly picking up the phone, constantly looking at it, checking it, stuff like that. And so to be able to experience a sense of minimization of that and go for it, brothers and sisters, it's a great time before life gets too complicated. Give yourself over to the Lord and pursuing him in the world he's created, in the events of your day, and then within your heart. Those are my whiteboards, and I can see all of them at once. And it gives me a wonderful sense of being able to say, what am I supposed to be working on right now? And then being able to check things off. What a gift to be able to start seeing it like that. Above Above that, right in front of me, just right in front of my eyes, is the holy face of Jesus. If you haven't discovered that devotion, please consider learning more about the devotion to the holy face of Jesus. Sister Mary of St. Peter, this Discalced Carmelite nun in Tours, France, in the middle section of the 19th century, right around the midpoint of the century, lived an incredibly holy life, and the Lord spoke to her and gave her these messages about devotion to the holy face. And she had this lay companion who was this miracle worker, this lawyer, who also had images of the holy face in his law office. And God ended up using him, this lay person, to be the conveyor of this message of the holy face that the Lord had given to the sister, because the bishop at the time was unwilling to take a strong stand, sort of failed in courage, and so just played it safe. And as a result, the Lord, the nun stayed obedient, which is huge. Her capacity to remain obedient and submitted, and just was going to trust that the Lord, this is your message, not mine. So you'll find a way. You'll figure it out. I don't have to run, do an end run around you. And the Lord is like, well, I'll deal with the bishop, and I'll get the message out through the wonder worker of Tours. And so using this layperson to have a own private room, to be able to introduce people to the holy face of Jesus. I bring that up because the Holy Face devotion is a pointer to the way that the first three commandments are at the basis of really bringing about societal renewal, even more than the last seven. Right. So we tend to focus more on the last seven commandments because those are very, let's call them, earthly and grounded in day-to-day life. We see impacts of them through failures to live them out. But the first three, involving idolatry and blasphemy and the failure to honor the Lord's day, as providing a solid foundation for how to live life, that's something that we just don't appreciate. Like, we don't appreciate what's really at stake in permitting and promoting, by our own utilization of the Lord's name, taking the Lord's name in vain, or even watching movies that routinely take the Lord's name in vain. And we're just sort of deaf to it, desensitized, or we don't say, you know what, if you're going to do that, I'm out. And it's amazing how weak we are when it comes to that. But then keeping holy the Lord's day, how we frankly don't really know how to live Sunday as a holy day. Like, oh, it means going to mass. Yes, it means avoiding unnecessary work. Yeah, okay. But do you go shopping on Sunday? And besides mass, are you doing anything to foster a sensitivity to the Lord's presence and going and being and pursuing the Lord, seeking his face? Right? Seeking his face. And so I have the holy face in front of me, that image, which is associated with the veil of Veronica and the carrying of the cross. And so I gaze upon the face, the holy face of Jesus, as I'm sitting here doing my work. And next to the holy face is a big crucifix. And so I think that's very healthy. I think that's very salutary, very life-bringing to our lives if we can keep in front of us the crucifixion of Jesus, to realize what he did for us, what he did in our place for our sake and on our behalf, and then to realize that that reality is going to come close to us, but that I am pursuing him out of love. That's, again, another St. Bernard of Clairvaux theme, guys. Just to pursue the Lord out of love. St. Bernard, right? I mentioned this recently, right? He was the one who advanced the Anselmian, St. Anselm, and his idea that credo ut intelligam, I believe so that I might understand. Unless I believe, I'll understand nothing about God. St. Bernard, it was amo ut intelligam, I love so that I might understand. If I do not love God, I will not understand nothing about the true nature of God. That is powerful. It's just fundamentally important principle for living our life of faith, that without the living relationship of love with the living Lord Jesus, who comes to us in the Eucharist, comes to us in his word, comes to us in the events of day-to-day life, if we have a sensitivity to it, to him, those are opportunities to receive his love and to love him in return, to grow in that love. And so pursuing him is something that St. Bernard promoted and fostered in his beautiful and powerful commentary on the Song of Songs, right? Draw me and we will follow you. He kisses me with the kisses of his mouth. His love is sweeter than wine, right? Draw us and we will run after you. We will follow you eagerly. And that's the nature of love. To be loved by God is like a magnet to be pulled towards him. And it's our response to chase after him, to run after him with love. And so what do you have in front of you? What do you keep in front of your eyes day to day? You might not have whiteboards that are 3 feet by 4 feet that you can put in front of you in your office. You might not have a large image of the Holy Face and a large crucifix, but what do you keep in front of your mind? Again, it's another theme of St. Bernard of Clairvaux. You become what you gaze upon. You're shaped fundamentally by what you contemplate. What you put in front of your eyes and you allow to absorb your time and attention, it's going to impact your life. And so for me in my house, we will serve the Lord, right? So that was just in one of the daily readings. We need to serve the Lord. We need to pursue him and follow after him day to day. All right, I'm up against another break. When we come back, I'm going to dig into those last three questions that are connected to my wedding anniversary from a week ago. Those last three questions, I hope that, again, I don't know what they are, but they'll be a source of insight for your life. Back in a minute. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out, drtomcurran.com, drtomcurran.com. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. All right, here we go. I have only three questions left. Again, if you haven't been part of this, you can go back to mycatholicfaith.org or you can go to a podcast channel and you can listen to some previous programs of mine on my wedding anniversary and two other programs. I started answering questions to gain insight into my married life. I asked Grok, it's an AI engine, to generate 10 questions to me to help me share some insight into 31 years of married life. I don't know what the questions were. And so I just been revealing them live. And so it just gives a fresh sense of, oh, here's my unfiltered, just sort of put it out there response. And so I don't know what question number 9 is. Let's find out. Question number 9. How do shared values or goals, like faith, finances, or hobbies, play into your daily life together? How do shared values or goals like faith, finances, or hobbies play into your daily life together? That's actually, on the one hand, pretty easy, right? So shared values or goals like faith. Okay, so let's start with faith. So we have some shared goals associated with faith. And so that means that prayer first is a important way that we will launch into our day. I've shared that with you before. I tend to get up earlier, and so that gives me some extra time to have quiet. I really value and feel drawn into quiet prayer, contemplative prayer, and some liturgical prayer, like the Liturgy of the Hours, and some mental prayer, which is spiritual reading. And so, and then meditating on that and maybe journaling on that. So that would be my morning prayer time. When Carrie gets up, she tends to come out and join me. And we will either be praying together in the same space, or she'll be in her own prayer space. And she tends to do some of the similar things. She'll tend to read and reflect on it, read and reflect, and then pray in her heart. If she's going to be listening to some music, it'll tend to be praise and worship music. So she'll be in her own space when she's doing that. But then that will lead us to have conversation. And so we'll have a chance to talk together. And that tends to be, again, before the day really gets going. One of the things that has been a bit more of a uniter, like in terms of our daily life together, is taking walks. So when we get up early enough, we get in our prayer time, and then we walk together. And if we walk together, we'll pray a decade of the rosary, a set of mysteries of the rosary together. So we'll pray a rosary together, and then we'll talk. We'll just share about either what was our prayer time on, or other things that are going on, or just things that we're noticing in life, or just in the things around us. And so that's a way that we're sharing life together, right? Doing something. And I guess it's kind of a hobby, taking a walk together. And then it says finances. That's not a hobby. And shared values and goals. We have, let's say, shared goals on the one hand, but this is where it's so fascinating, because you could have the same end in mind, but different means of getting to the end. And that's where Carrie and I will have a bit more arm wrestling. Do you like how I said that, arm wrestling, about what's the best way to get to our goal? And, is it by taking this action now, or do we delay and take this action later? Or do we take this action to this degree now, or do we hold off and we take this action in a different stepwise approach? So whether it's budgeting, whether it's planning, whether it is seeking ways to spend less, to earn more, to invest differently, those are those crucial conversations I've already mentioned to you in an earlier question that, boy, talk about, it makes a huge difference if we're on the same page, or if we're not. And so I bring that up to you to say, what are the shared goals that you have together, let's say, for your kids? Are you in agreement? Just as a for instance, I want my daughter to be better at volleyball, and so that she can be able to do well when she's in high school. Right? We don't have visions and dreams that our kids are going to go pro, or they're going to play in college, and that's not even a really goal for us, to have our kids play on a college team. We'd rather have them be able to enjoy a very good experience in high school, playing on a team where they can do well. But then in college, just to be able to enjoy being athletic, right? To be able to use a sense of athleticism, to be able to enjoy on an intramural team, or just when you're out and about playing with friends. And then engaging in college life in a fuller way beyond a sports-centric experience of college. So that's just our approach. But what does that mean? Do we sign up our daughter for this high-level club that's going to mean this amount of money, and it could mean this amount of traveling? Or do we say we want this girl on a regional team that's not going to travel, but then she's not going to be receiving the same level of coaching and playing at the same level of players? That takes some common mindset, a common understanding of what are our goals and how are we going to achieve them. And honestly, it's not something that you're planning when you get married. You don't have the details worked out. You want your kids to succeed, you want them to do well, you want them to rise to the level they can, but the concrete details, we don't have that stuff worked out. So the importance of having a common basis, a common foundation that's rooted in faith and mutual respect, and a capacity to talk and to listen, to explore together, to not be stubbornly clinging to your own position. These are crucial things in living a married life. So I just share that with you all. Hopefully that's a blessing. All right. Let's see. Let's go to number 10. All right. I wonder what number 10 says. Looking back, what's something unexpected about married life that you've come to appreciate and why? Looking back, what's something unexpected about married life that you've come to appreciate and why? Oh, that's a really interesting question. Unexpected about married life. I would say this. This one is, I'm not trying to be like holy or anything like that, but what I've found to be unexpected is this principle of the Christian life, that a life that is marked by trials and difficulties and sufferings is more blessed than a life that is free from trials and difficulties and sufferings. Okay, let me say that again. I'll kind of shift it, or I'll just say it again, and then I'll shift it a little bit to make it even more dramatic. A life that is marked by trials and difficulties and sufferings is more blessed than a life that is free from trials and difficulties and sufferings. The even more dramatic way of saying it is that your greatest cross will be the greatest gift that God gives to your marriage. And I know that sounds so mysterious and so hard, and it seems in certain circumstances, in certain types of trials, like just purely false. But I am saying that the most serious trials we've faced so far in our lives, and we've been at it 31 years, God has used to bring about the greatest transformation. And not easy. No, not easy at all. So difficult. But it has broken us open to come into new levels of encounter with God's grace, new areas of growth, of humbling ourselves. And that has been unexpected. I would say this. The second is that marriage will bring about new avenues to self-knowledge and self-awareness that are just not on your radar screen before you get married. I just had no idea how much I would come to know about myself through Carrie, through her love, through her sharing, through her insight, through her capacity to see into my life and to bring things out to me. I thought I was self-aware. So much I was just blind to, just did not see. So that was something that was also unexpected and a beautiful gift. Last thing, I'll do something that's a little bit more light and fun, is how much I really enjoy watching my kids play sports instead of myself actually playing the sport. Like, I love playing sports, and I just couldn't imagine that, I would enjoy more watching my kids play than myself actually playing. But that's the case. And I just have a smile on my face. That is the smile of enjoying watching them exert themselves rather than the smile I get from exerting myself. So there you go. Those are some surprises. I'm actually at the end of my program. That went quicker than I thought. So there's my surprise. There's my bonus. Okay. I hope and pray that this was a blessing to you, just sort of walking through daily life of faith. It's an important part of recognizing how God meets us in the details. And I hope he met you today. All right. God bless you. Join me tomorrow.